LeBron James, sexiest man alive, and virgins making news.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
The worst day to be horny is Sunday. The best day is a Friday and Saturday night.
Andy Dirt Johnson.
You want to close. Close. As in C-L-O-S-E. Not C-L-O-T-H-E-S.
And Brandon Sprague.
I love me a Spanish-speaking woman. I really, really, really do. I love it. Now, that ain't all you got to have. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to have it, but I mean, it is a plus. A bilingual woman's, specifically Spanish, whispering in your ear. It's a beautiful thing.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
The expectation is that you're going to be ready to step up and handle your business. That's her expectation, whether she tells you or not. Am I right, Solange? Amen. Amen.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour two. Alan and Craig here. What's up? Filling in for Dirt and Sprague today. Hope you guys are doing well. About to get to in the second hour of the program. The Final Four is this weekend.
Yes, it is. Tomorrow.
Yesterday, I got excited. You guys told me the weather was going to be nice. I really want to be at the beach. Just my soul always wants to be at the beach. Every sunset, when I'm driving home, if it's close to sunset or sunset,
you just want to be looking at the ocean.
Every single time.
Toes in the sand.
I say, perfect day to be at the beach, because yes. I just want to see a sunset.
It's all you want to do.
I'm romantic that way.
Yeah.
But I also was like, really want to watch the men and the women's Final Four, and I don't want to miss it. So I don't think I'm going to push to go to the coast anymore.
Now, let me ask you this. So it's a difference between not going to the coast, because that will affect your viewership numbers and your ability.
Yes, I would probably miss the first game live.
Are you going to sit around and watch these games live tomorrow? It's going to be 72 degrees on a Saturday or in early April. So are we going to get Sprague in the house in front of the TV from 3 till 8:30? What time does the second game start?
Yeah, somewhere around 8 o'clock, call it.
Because I'm just going to be honest with you. We live in a trust tree. We like to be honest on this show.
Yeah, you're going to DVR.
I'm DVRing and I'm playing golf.
I know.
It's 70 degrees in April and I'm not sitting inside to watch basketball.
I will get back to you on that. Okay. I need to think about what my strategy is here.
First game
starts
at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
You're telling me Sprague's not out there on the Blackstone. He's firing up. He's going to be out in the backyard.
I have a TV in my garage.
Well, there you go.
Blackstone's right next to it.
That's true. You got that ability. That's 70 degrees in April, man. You don't get many of those.
You can't beat that. We'll get to the Final Four stuff. The Portland Trailblazers are Portland Trailblazers. Blazers are red hot and rolling.
We're back now. We were done, and now we're back, and then we were done, and now we're back.
They were in the six. Huh? How about that, Ken? Or how about that, Drake? Wop, 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 wop. Shaedon Sharpe, 21st half points. Finished with another game over 30. Denny was really good, obviously, because he played.
Mm-hmm.
And our Portland Trailblazers are now a game and a half back of the Phoenix Suns.
Yep.
And about two games back,
two and a half
of the Kings,
behind the Kings.
But
it's 3.5.
Sinking like a stone.
It's technically 3.5 because I don't believe they have the tiebreaker over Sacramento. And Sacramento has been sinking like a stone. You know who their last win was over?
Us?
Yeah, by 20. So that just happened like a week ago. And so essentially you're 3.5 back with, what do they got, five games to go?
Five to go.
Yeah.
So,
pretty good.
Pretty good. The
Mike
Toronto
Richmond.
Court was cool. I'll give you that takeaway from the game yesterday.
They had the throwback logo.
Like
that's
throwback. The throwback Raptor logo. I'm not a big fan
of the Barneys.
Yeah, that's okay. Different eras, different strokes for different folks. That's how we roll. I love the purple inside. I mean, I was digging.
Well,
the court
you know,
yesterday.
I love purple. I love me some purple.
Who doesn't love purple?
But I don't like the Barney.
Mm. So in listening to the homie Mike Richmond, which I do from time to time, who does a good job on the Locked On Network.
What'd the homie Mike Richmond take away?
He was interviewing somebody, and he said out loud, and when Mike Richmond is saying it, it makes me think of Dirt. And Mike Richmond, in the nicest way possible, because Dirt is not always in the nicest way possible.
No.
Mike Richmond was like, yeah, you know, didn't want to win games last year, and that draft wasn't considered good in any way. But this year, it's the best draft, and it's time to win. And he's, you know, basically asking, was this a mandate from up top of like we need to sell more tickets at the end of the year? So don't turn the water off. I don't know, but they were out tanked yesterday by the Toronto Raptors. And I got home before this game happened. I get home yesterday afternoon, and I sit down. I'm like logging on, reading. And I see my very good friend Jeremy Wu. Our very good friend Jeremy Wu, ESPN, NBA draft beat guy.
Yes.
And I'm hoping to get him on soon because I've been texting with him. His schedule's been kind of crazy.
He does great work with the NBA draft.
He does. And we had him on when he's a Sports Illustrated. He's now at ESPN. He wrote Cooper Flagg's best NBA comps. And I'm like, well, I got to read this.
Got to dive into this bad boy.
And basically, he goes around and he talks to all these personnel people in the NBA. Like, he actually talks to them.
He doesn't pretend
he talked it to people. He actually talked to people. And so he's talking to people in the West, in the East, and he's basically saying, who does he remind you of? What's a player comp to help some of our readers, our viewers, understand the magnitude?
Whose game do you project him resembling
now,
when he gets to the NBA?
He does take the player comp, and then he also says, does it look like it stylistically, yes or no? So some of these you may not go, yeah, because you might see a different version, but the kind of player the NBA people think he'll be, okay? I'm going to run through the list here. Kawhi Leonard. Which, if that happens, everybody in that organization needs to be arrested for winning basketball games.
Really
if
glad
that's
we don't
true.
Have a chance to draft that guy.
Well, we do. It's just not very good odds. This is interesting. Floor comp. Okay? The floor.
The bottom.
Right, the bottom. The
worst possible version of Cooper Flagg.
Yes.
Who is he? Lamar Odom. Lamar Odom was a really good basketball player.
Where would Lamar Odom rank amongst Blazers over the last 20 years?
Get your Sour Patch Kids.
And get your Kardashian. You know what I mean?
Get you two of these as well.
I know Lamar wasn't a one. Man, was he really stinking good.
He was a great fit.
6'10 lefty point forward.
Dude.
Pretty solid. Pretty solid right there.
In his prime comp, Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
We had a shot at Tatum 1 year.
We did, and then we did the same thing we're doing this year. We decided to have Nurk fever and win games in the last 20 and make the playoffs as an 8 seed and then get swept in the first round of the playoffs by Golden State. Sorry.
You need therapists.
Sorry.
How about you don't think he is a number one, he is a number two, he's a banana, he is not the guy that necessarily leads you, but
he's
damn
a Robin.
It,
he's not a Batman.
But he's an elite Robin. Okay? He's a guy that you trust. I wouldn't say Bateman.
Okay.
Bateman is the 7th to 8th guy off the bench pretending he's the one. He is a Terry Rozier. That's a Bateman.
He's a Gary Trent Jr. Yeah. He's a guy who thinks he's a number one, and you're like, dude, stop shooting the ball. You're not a number one.
That's a Bateman.
Yeah.
This is a solid, absolute star, but he's a number two. Former Trailblazer. Scottie Pippen.
Yeah.
And I went, it'd be great to have Scottie Pippen.
I mean, when you can win games in a year where the draft is supposed to be one of the best that we've seen in a long time and push for a 10 seed in a play-in spot, maybe even lose your first-round pick if you win the play-in situation, you do it. Any opportunity you get. The last 3 years, they have played G League rosters for the final 6 weeks of the season, give or take. I mean, it's like, go back and look at some of the guys that were in the lineup at the end of the last 2 seasons. It was remarkable what they were putting out. And the drafts weren't as good. And now in the year when the draft is significantly better, in which almost everybody agrees, doesn't mean it's a certainty, but almost everybody who analyzes this will tell you that the draft is better, we will not pull the plug.
Do you remember what our odds were last year? Do you remember where we were in the draft lottery odds?
I remember they slipped down slightly, and I believe we ended up with the 7th overall pick, so I'll say 5th?
We were exactly 5th. Yeah. We had a 10.5% chance at the number 1.
Yep, and they moved down to number 7.
They moved down to number 7. I remember, I'll never forget, I was doing a live pod with Danny that day. And so we were watching the draft while we were doing the pod live. And we had all these Jack Ramsey's listeners. And I'll never forget when they were released at 7, I was just like, oh. And everybody on the live stream was just like, oh, they were railing and railing, and Meringue was like, you, then it became like a yelling at each other thing.
I think that's why some people are in the mindset this year of let's just keep rooting for wins. I genuinely do, because 1 year scarred them, and we forget quickly.
I don't think that's the case.
Look, maybe it's not.
I also think you allow the internet to be representative of everybody, and I don't think that's the case either.
Oh,
I have
of course
a lot of people
not.
In my life. Sometimes they're like, dude, he can never be happy, that dirt. And I'm like, I know. But there are a lot of people in my life that are like, yeah, this is pretty clearly what you should be doing this year for this draft.
Oh, I think the majority of fans agree with me. I think the majority of fans are in my camp. And for those who don't, and if last year's tank did scare you off, I would quickly point to the year before in which I want to say you had, what, the sixth or seventh worst odds, and you ended up with the third overall pick, and that's when you took Scoot Henderson.
Yes.
You could have had Amen Thompson.
But right now, they are sitting just barely ahead of the Chicago Bulls. Just barely ahead of the Phoenix Suns. And if the Suns keep sinking and the Blazers can get a big win today, which I don't think that they will, but if they can.
Yeah, their next two games against the Bulls and then the Spurs back home.
Yeah, they'll win the Spurs game. But
of course we will.
The Spurs are tanking. But the Bulls is a question mark and a flip of the coin.
Yeah, but the Bulls already locked up their play-in spot. They
what are you laughing about?
They can't lose
the play-in. I just love why other teams are allowed to tank. I just love
possibly.
If they can be like the 7, do you want to be the 7-8 versus being the 9-10? Do you want to avoid Cleveland or would you rather play Boston? Because that's what you're fighting for.
They're only a half game different from Miami.
Yeah, see, I think they can bypass Miami.
They're two behind Atlanta for 8.
It also might not matter because their owner doesn't actually care about the playoffs. He just wants them to be in the playoffs or the play-in so he can milk money from Chicago.
Yes, he wants a little more revenue.
He doesn't actually care.
No.
But we I feel like we're becoming the Bulls but the West. Like, we should be sucking more, but we're winning.
Yes.
And the left field comp, this one I've heard a couple times. And this one doesn't get me as excited, even though I think this player was a really good player. AK-47, Andrei Kirilenko.
Andrei Kirilenko, man.
Famously got one groupie a year via his wife.
That's a great flashback
name. I'm sure
name.
He only kept it to one, too.
That's a great... Yeah, I mean, I had the dream going into the week that maybe the 8th pick was realistic based on the way that they were playing and the way the standings were looking.
Oh, they lost, like, what, 4 in a row at one
They had, yeah. And now the 8th pick is done. It's not going to happen. You're going to beat San Antonio in town.
I think you're 2 games clear of them, and you're probably going to beat them on Saturday.
Not going to happen, so you're going to beat them, and then it might not even be the 9th pick. You might be looking at the 10th or 11th odds. I mean, the 10th spot
being
to me,
the 10th pick would be the absolute.
I mean, it was already a disaster. Now
10
just
would
making,
give you a 3% chance.
Yeah, it's just getting worse.
The Atlanta
and worse.
Hawks, by the way, got that pick last year.
Worse and worse by the day.
Of all the years to be the 10th and get the 1.
Let's do it the year after the 10th pick got the 1.
Quite literally the worst year for the Hawks to have won that last year is like, hey, he's a good player. He is. You get Reese Hoshey. Versus Cooper Flagg.
A little bit different there. A little bit different feeling amongst the old fan base right there.
Boy, you get to the Bulls at 11 from last year. If you get 11, you got a 2% chance. That ain't happening.
No.
You'll be lucky to get into the top 8 at that point.
I know Sacramento's sinking like a stone. I get it. I understand that Kevin Durant is out. You have 5 games to go in the regular season, and you got to make up 3.5 of them.
You got a couple tough 4 games on that schedule.
You essentially have to win out the rest of the way and need Sacramento to lose out, and you still got to jump Phoenix. Phoenix does have a tough schedule, and there's no Kevin Durant again. So I don't think Phoenix is going to make it, but we're still behind them in the standings.
Phoenix could pass us.
They could. In the lottery odds, Phoenix could end up with a better lottery chance this offseason than the Portland Trailblazers. Imagine saying that at the start of the year.
Shaden looked good, though.
He
looked aggressive. He looked in control. He's at least, like, Tumani and Denny are the absolutes. At least Shaden has put some stuff together to make you think, can he gain 5 to 8 more pounds? Because when I look at him, I do think he needs to bulk up a little bit.
Yeah.
And he's gotten a little bigger since he got in the league. But, like, also, I just love seeing an aggressive Shaden.
I just have a really hard time with end of the NBA season stuff.
Totally.
Because there's so many bad teams.
Yeah.
The Toronto Raptors are tanking. They've played teams who have pulled their starters with 10 minutes to go in games.
Nobody was at that game.
Nobody's going. Nobody's trying. They don't want to win. And so that's awesome. I'm glad the guys are playing well. I have a really hard time extrapolating that and saying it will translate to next season.
We will talk with Connor O'Neill, who covers Duke for the Rivals website, to finish up our final 4 ticker stops for the week. But coming up next, something that couldn't have been better in terms of how it worked out for the men and the women's final 4. Get to that next on The Fan. Well, we've talked with a buddy. We got this earlier this week when we did one of our other previews.
I don't eat the wiener.
And we'll wrap up our final 4 preview with Connor O'Neill of the Duke's Rival website coming up at the bottom of the hour.
The Dukies.
The Dukies. The much-hated Dukies who are not very hateable.
No, it's very weird, very conflicting. It's going to be a weird weekend where part of me wants to see them win, but then I'm acknowledging I'm rooting for Duke and I can't do that. I'm in a really weird spot right now.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably are conflicted in a lot of ways because Duke has been genuinely a team that people hate, but I don't think this could have worked out. Well, it could have worked out a little better, but I don't think it could have worked out any better for both the men and the women's bracket. We don't talk as much about the women's side. Dirt's not watching those games. I totally get, but I think tonight it's talk about a night to grill and watch TV with the sun out.
What time are the games tonight?
4 o'clock and 6:30.
So on ESPN.
Not crazy late.
No, not at all.
I'll have my Blackstone out, probably grilling a steak of some sort with the Texas and South Carolina game starting, and then get Beckers at UCLA. The UCLA coach, by the way, Corey Close, she had a really good press conference yesterday. Talked about memories that she's had with some of the players on UConn and her team when her dad died. Just really good press conference stuff from her. And it's her first Final Four of her career, 14 years at UCLA. This couldn't have worked out better for the men or the women because they got Paige Beckers and Cooper Flagg in the Final Four.
Yeah.
Like, if Duke would have got... Who did Duke just play? I blank it. Who did they just play?
Did they have Texas Tech?
No. No. That was Florida.
No, that was Florida.
You're laughing because I don't remember, because none of us remember.
I'm laughing because this is how our, I mean, yeah. I think it sums everything up.
Who they steamrolled?
They steamrolled them.
Alabama,
there you go.
Thank you, Brandon. You're welcome, dude. No problem. I'm glad to help.
Don't look at me for answers.
Got
on college
Riggins
basketball.
Over here just being a stupid
You're the
idiot.
College basketball guy. Of all the things you couldn't answer, they just played
he
the game on Sunday.
He literally was the most dumbfounded I've ever seen his face, and you just giggled like a schoolgirl.
Because I don't care about college basketball that much, just to be honest with you. I'm kind of excited the tournament's almost over.
Coming up next. But
Cooper Flagg makes it different for me.
Imagine,
he genuinely does.
Like, Alabama's good, but Alabama is night outs. Problematic lawyer in a movie?
A little bit.
Or the Southern lawyer who goes against the problematic people?
Fighting for social justice.
Got a little bit of that...
Nate Oates coming out of nowhere. I didn't see that in him.
Well, I'm just saying, like, that's what it would have been versus number one pick NBA draft.
It's not even close.
Three other NBA dudes in the starting lineup. And if you go look at the numbers, the women's game from 2023, the numbers are higher than that year. Now, they are slightly down from where they were last year.
It's Caitlin Clark. You're not going to catch that.
Obviously.
But the sport is in a healthy spot.
It hasn't fallen off of a cliff.
No.
You're not going to reach the peak numbers of Caitlin Clark and LSU, but they still have growing numbers, and a lot of that is Paige Beckers. And so while I was really bummed that Juju Watkins got hurt and we didn't get a rematch between Beckers and Watkins.
But that would have been in the Elite Eight, or that was in the Elite Eight, because they beat USC.
It was in the Elite Eight, so it would have been a rematch from last year's Elite Eight, which was here, which I watched, was a great game.
Yeah.
That was a big bummer, and Juju was the player of the year. Beckers Flagg, you could not have asked for a better, hey, what players do you want in the Final Four? They would have... like easily been two of the four players you would have wanted to see as premier faces of programs in the Final Four.
This is where I do think there's an interesting aspect of the Final Four, where most years when the tournament winds down, I'm just kind of ready for basketball to be done. Like, I'm not the biggest college basketball guy on the planet. I think the first 2 days of the tournament are two of the best sports day of the entire calendar year. Mm-hmm. There are games on all day. Everybody's got a bracket. We're gambling. Like, it's everybody's having a blast. And to me, every round that the tournament goes on, you almost lose momentum a little bit as it goes. Cooper Flagg is the outlier here. He just is. There have not been that many household names that are well-known by the majority of sports fans that are a captivating star that have made it this far in the NCAA tournament. For as good as some of the UConn teams were, they were more of a sum of their parts, not that's a generational piece that I want to see. Is he the great white hope of American basketball?
Right.
We talked about that the other day. So I agree 100% with you, and I think women's basketball is in the same spot. You're never going to match what Caitlin Clark did. It was a moment in time. It was a euphoric time for women's college hoops. But the sport is in a healthy spot, and their star, one of the biggest stars, if not the biggest, has made it to the Final Four. And watching what Cooper Flagg does to me is the biggest storyline of the weekend, and really the storyline that I'm genuinely excited for.
Oh, see, I think Florida... Look, Auburn, I keep poo-pooing Auburn, and that's probably going to be a mistake come Monday's show, because at this rate, the way my bracket finished, Auburn's going to win that game, and it's going to be Auburn in the title game. I think Florida getting to the title game makes the title game the best title game.
Sure. I think Cooper Flagg is the only thing that matters.
I think he's the biggest thing.
Cooper Flagg being in the title game changes everything for that game. And if Houston wins, I don't think it matters who they play. You can tell me the game's more entertaining.
Houston,
that's fine.
Auburn is just not. We'll talk about it Monday, but the buzz for that versus.
And you can tell me that Houston versus Florida would be more entertaining. I'll grant you that. But in terms of a national storyline and people paying attention.
You think Houston, Florida would be more entertaining?
I'm not saying it.
Duke
maybe it would. No, I'm just saying To me, it doesn't matter who wins the other side. The only thing that matters for college basketball this weekend is that Duke wins that game and that Cooper Flagg gets in. When was the last time? Now, this might be a dumb question. You guys follow it closer than I do.
Well, obviously we don't. We can't even name who played Duke just beat in the Elite Eight.
Literally 5 days ago.
I can't stress how disappointed in you I am.
That's one of your lowest moments on the show.
You literally...
That is literally one of your lowest moments
on the show. You, like, forgot to talk. It was crazy.
But that game was over seemingly 10 minutes in.
Almost every
out.
Tournament game has been over seemingly 10 minutes in.
It's not been a great close game.
It's been a really bad tournament. The ratings are good, but it's been a really bad
Saturday
tournament.
Elite Eight games were far better than the Sunday ones.
I'll grant you that, sure, but I think that's a pretty low bar to get over.
Well, that was Florida's comeback.
Yeah. What was the other game?
And then that was...
what was the other game Saturday?
That was Auburn's game.
Yeah. Who did they play?
Who did Auburn beat?
This is why I love, dude. We do this. We pretend Michigan this is like the greatest sport ever.
Michigan State.
We can't even remember. These games were a week ago.
I know.
Can't even remember who they beat.
My head is elsewhere.
By the way, the Duke-Alabama game was on Saturday,
Hold
Swag.
On.
The Duke-Alabama game was Saturday, not Sunday. Yes, I'm literally looking at it in front of me. It was Texas Tech, Florida.
Auburn, Michigan State was Sunday.
And then it was Alabama, Duke. That was a 20-point win for Duke.
Auburn,
those were the games.
State
and then on Sunday, it was Tennessee scoring 15 points in the first half, and then Auburn beating Michigan State.
Do you love that he tried to go, oh, I'm thinking about other things? No, you don't know. It's
don't
okay
know.
To say we don't know. We forget this.
But I was going to ask. I know
who was in the Final Four last year?
Nobody knows. We have no clue.
UConn, I know that.
They won the national title. That's all
who
that I remember.
Who did they beat in the national championship game?
I just remember because of Zach Edey.
Okay.
I remember the Zach
So there you go.
Thing.
There's Purdue.
Because it was Purdue. Donovan Klingon, and we ended up drafting Klingon. That I remember. Who else they played, I have no clue. This is why we all pretend.
Yeah,
for 1 month
Purdue
of the year.
Beat?
Dude, for 1 month of the year, we pretend to love this sport, and then we just move on.
Swag, who did Purdue beat last year in the Final Four?
I'm very excited for Tuesday. Let's move on to a real sport. The Masters
beat.
Is next week, okay? Can we get on to important things? When was the last time, though, a freshman led a team to a national title? Has it been more recent than I'm giving it credit for in my head?
Was it Mello at Syracuse?
Because that's the only one that stands out.
Kentucky, AD.
Was he,
Yeah.
Was he a one and done at Kentucky?
I think he won the title
that
year, right?
So, touche. So, it's been about a decade or a little over a decade then?
I'm guessing.
I was trying to rack my brain because when I think of...
Full transparency, I'm guessing here.
When I think like generational freshman wins national championship, the only one that pops up in my mind is Carmelo Anthony. And that's unfair to Anthony Davis that he did it because he was a hell of a player in Kentucky.
Make sure he did it.
Was he on the title?
We're
team?
On a real roll right
We're
now,
on a roll.
Guys.
Riggins firing from all over the place.
Actually, before we go, I have to verify.
We
if
have
this
to verify
true,
this
yeah.
now. Yeah, you were relatively confident in that
well,
answer.
Well, I just responded so quickly. I do remember watching him thinking, "Geez, dude, this guy."
He was a hell of a player. But I just like this to me is a Mello type run at Syracuse, what Cooper Flagg
yes,
is doing.
It's very
right now.
Similar to that.
And I was just trying to think if there was another one or if it legitimately has been 25 years since we've seen
it. Yeah, it was
AD,
2012.
Okay.
He had a double double in the title game, 18-14.
So it's been a minute. Maybe there's one since then that we're forgetting because we clearly don't care about college basketball. We just pretend to for a month every year. But that's why this is so special from Cooper
He's
Flagg.
A little more well rounded than AD was, too. AD was absolutely a monster, but the well roundedness of the game is a little.
It's a hell of a player, man.
It's a little different. But I don't think it could have worked out any better. Duke is playing for an appearance in the national championship led by Cooper Flagg and Con Knipple, who is Con Knipple II. Do you know that?
I did not know that.
He has a little brother in eighth grade named Kid.
It sounds like he's going to have four Knipples go through Duke. There's cousins, there's brothers, there's a whole bunch of them.
All of them start with a K.
There's a flock of them.
They're like the Kardashians with what they do with their kids.
Here they go.
Let's talk with Connor O'Neill of the Duke Rivals website for the Daily Ticker. Get his thoughts on Duke's matchup against Houston. We'll get to that coming up next.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this... Let's go over the ground rules.
Pelican Brewing presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague hit the big stories you've heard about and some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. It's amazing.
The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague is brought to you by Pelican Brewing, independently brewing on the Oregon coast since 1996. Crack open a can of Beat Breaker Double IPA and take a bold, hoppy break. Pelican Brewing, born at the beach.
All right, Daily Ticker time, presented as always by our great friends at Pelican Brewing Company. With the return of warmer weather, Pelican Brewing brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelicano, available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. We've stopped everywhere for the Final Four. The last one is the biggest one this weekend, and that is the Dukies. They take on Houston for a trip for the national championship on Monday. Joining us now is Connor O'Neill, publisher of Devils Illustrated. Connor, good morning to you, man. You know, this might be a dumb radio cliche question, but I got to ask it anyways. Like, there have been a lot of big-time stars that have come through Duke. A lot of guys who have captivated the sports audience. Zion, one of the most recent. I'll never forget watching that North Carolina game when he blew out his shoe. How do you put into context or perspective where Cooper Flagg falls amongst some of these all-time Duke greats?
I think if I'm answering that right now, he's up there on the list. I think the next two games, or next one game, if that's the case, will tell us even more. I mean, it's going to be impossible to compare Cooper with guys like Christian Laettner that were there for 4 years and won two national championships. It's such a different age. But when you talk about the Duke one and done era, about the last 15 years or so, I'm hard pressed to come up with a more accomplished player. It's been incredible to watch. Zion, it's so much different than Zion, because Zion was just kind of transformational, transcendent is I guess a better word. I mean, I always go to, he had President Obama showing up to his game.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if any celebrity has risen to the level to come watch Cooper Flagg, and that's no slight against Cooper, but yeah. There's just more of a simplicity to Cooper's game. Zion, you were guaranteed. I was having this conversation with David Hale of ESPN. Zion, you were guaranteed to see something like once or twice a game that you were never going to see from anybody else ever, because of just how much you could marvel at his athleticism for a guy in a body that size. With Cooper, it's more the beauty is in the eye of the beholder. He's more of a like basketball junkies superstar, where you don't really realize all of the little things he does unless you're paying attention to him for 40 minutes a game. And that's where I land on, you know, this is the last time really that we'll get to talk about that and kind of talk about how his legacy is being shaped this weekend.
He's been great. It makes a lot of us out here wish the Blazers would try to suck more than they have this year. We could really use a player like Cooper Flagg, but they don't appear to be in the running for it the way other teams are. So we know Cooper's great, and I know there's matchup stuff with Cooper and this Houston team that I'm interested in. I want to ask you about another player that doesn't get quite the headlines. He is on the radar of a lot of NBA teams outside of like maybe the top eight. Con Knipple, what you have learned about Con Knipple, we can see what he means to the team when he plays. He had a great game in their Elite Eight game. But in reading about Con Knipple, he's the second Con Knipple to exist in society. His family calls themselves the Flying Knipple Brothers. He's got all these brothers with other names that start with K. Learning about Con Knipple, coming in with some hype, and then the way he's played and learning about Con Knipple, what's that been like?
It's been really interesting to get to know Con. And I say get to know, I mean, we're getting to know him in these brief pockets when, you know, Duke has open locker room after home games, and that makes it easier than a lot of other schools. But Con, I've been trying to phrase it this way for about the entire year. Personality wise, Con has a little bit of like Midwestern Rube, like he's from Milwaukee. But he's also got some like New Jersey / New York sarcastic jerk to him. and I honestly think that it's one of the reasons that gives him an edge on the court. He is not the most athletic guy. Like he has athleticism. I think the most athletic play he made all year was a dunk against Arizona State in the exhibition game where he elevated and just, it was like, oh my God, you know, I thought this guy was just a, you know, 6'6" white boy jump shooter. Where did that come from? But he is unique. Even though there are four more behind him, all with those K names, I think one's Cager, one's Kid. he's just the other thing, and I'm going to sound a lot like Coop when I'm talking about Cooper, he does a lot of little things correctly. And his attention to detail makes him really a special player. And it makes him a lottery pick as a guy that, you know, I don't think anybody in the summer and preseason would have been putting him into their mock drafts as a lottery pick. But he quickly got there.
Yeah, Connor, I think what you were looking for there, and you could use it going forward, when guys are not like super athletic, which we can see when we watch Con Knipple, but he's getting stuff done. Those white guys tend to be labeled high motor guys.
High motor, scrappy.
Con Knipple, high he's motor scrappy. Guy.
Yeah, he's
good. Yeah. The high motor stuff applies so much to Cooper that I hesitate to give it to anybody else on this team.
Touche. Gym rat then. Con Knipple.
Yeah, Jerry, go gym rat. That's a good one.
He's sneaky athletic.
Sneaky athletic.
That's a good way to describe it.
If he played receiver, he'd probably be a good route runner.
Yeah. He'd be a good slot guy for sure. Yeah,
we're talking with Connor O'Neill.
Julian Edelman.
That's right. Devils Illustrated covering Duke. You know, look, not that it's a, I mean, they were a number one seed. What were they in the regular season? 32-3 or 31-3 or whatever it was. Like, they've been dominant all year. But I think the question coming in was, well, the ACC's not quite what it was or used to be in years past. The SEC's been so dominant. You look at the tournament now, and here you go, playing likely a top five pick in the second round. You beat Baylor by 20-something. They play Arizona. Hey, Caleb Love, Duke killer. There's another easy win. I know Arizona made it a little bit close late, but comfortable basically the entire time. And then, hey, Alabama shooting threes, breaking NCAA records. Look at this. They're torching everybody. And they win the damn game by 20. Two-parter for you, Connor. Are you surprised at how, I don't know if easy is the right way to say it, but just, you know, they've kind of breezed through the first however many games of the tournament so far. And then how do you think they match up against Houston, a team that they beat last year, I believe, in the Sweet 16?
I think I'm not surprised. I think a lot of us that are both covering ACC schools and paying a lot of attention to the ACC at large had an understanding by the time we got to March that the league is pretty bad. I mean, it was just not a good league this year. Also, Duke was on a different level than everyone else in the league, and they shouldn't have been penalized perception-wise because of the league they played in. I don't want to say it's like Gonzaga in years past because they did get, you know, I think Clemson was a 6 seed and Louisville was an 8 seed and Carolina snuck their way into the tournament. But, yeah, it's always been Duke and then the rest of the ACC this season. Mm. Matching up against Houston, these teams are going to want to physically impose their will on each other, and whichever team does a better job of that, I think it was either Sion James or Khan yesterday called it a get the ball game. I mean, this is going to be a game that is won in the margins of 50-50 balls and who's able to come up with balls in traffic. That kind of stuff. It's going to be paramount, and it's going to tell you who wins this one.
Yeah, great stuff. Connor O'Neill covering Duke. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Connor O'Neill _ DI Devils Illustrated. Thanks for so much for the time out here in Portland, man. We appreciate it. Enjoy the Final Four. I'm sure it's been a fun run for you, and hopefully we can do this again soon.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Connor O'Neill.
I texted him yesterday. I was trying to get a Duke guest.
Yeah.
I said, hey, Connor, because most of these guys, they travel, but they're still operating on their time zone to remember things. So I'm like, hey, could you join us 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern? And he responds after about 10 minutes and goes, man, that's early. But I got to get up early. So sure.
Let's do it.
And I was like, doing math, and I'm like,
that's early for you, huh?
9:30, 10:30 a.m. early for you.
I mean, if I was a reporter and I didn't have anything to do in the morning, I'd sleep until 10 o'clock. Well, not anymore because I got a kid, but prior to the kid, I'd sleep until 10 o'clock every day, snoozing in, roll out of bed.
The Flying Knipple Brothers.
The Flying Knipples, man. They're coming at you hot and spicy. Good stuff there looking at Duke as they get ready for the game tomorrow. Today's Daily Ticker, presented by Pelican Brewing Company with the return of the warmer weather. Pelican brings back its summer seasonal beer, Pelican. Available in clear glass bottles. It's refreshment that you can see. We got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show, and it is right around the corner. I want to put a bow on some of this college basketball talk. I'm going to get the gurus of the show, your thoughts on the women's Final Four, which is today. Matchup, who do we like? Is it Paige Becker? Is she going to run away with it? We'll put a bow on some of this, move on to some baseball stuff at the top of the hour. Back after this on The Fam.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a
gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com. We've got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Got a couple of baseball stats and factoids I want to start with, including this looking exactly how we thought it would look, and let's all chuckle about it, and odds that will also make you laugh. We'll start the final hour there in a few moments. Women's Final Four is today.
Yes, it is.
It's interesting, you know, we had somebody mention or comment earlier, you know, hey, any chance Cooper Flagg, you know, doing the segment you were doing a couple weeks ago, any chance Cooper Flagg returns to college basketball? It's like, no, he's not. He's going to be the number one pick in the draft. We've done this with Caleb Williams. Does he really want to go to Chicago? It's like, yeah, he's going to go to the NFL. He's going to get drafted by the Bears. I don't really think it matters who ends up getting the number one overall pick. It's interesting in women's college hoops that we have seen multiple big stars announced that they are returning for another year because they're waiting for the new CBA and the WNBA.
The money's nothing like it is in the NBA for the number one pick
close.
Or a top pick in the draft in general.
And they can make more money in NIL in college than they can in their first year
in the
WNBA.
Is the rookie WNBA like $75,000 the most you can make?
Yeah,
or something like
I think that was
Caitlin
Clark's salary was around that number.
I'll see what Caitlin,
it's $73,000.
Yeah, I'll pull it up.
It's crazy.
So I found it
all
her
money, all their money.
All their money came from
Brink
NIL.
$76,535.
Yeah. Brink basically did an interview and she was like, "Yeah, all of our money's made from off court. It's not on."
That's how you got to make money. Now
that
she's getting paid by State Farm
or that 3-on-3 league that they did. Now the Paige Beckers has some equity in that. Yeah. So
there was another one last week, and then the star at LSU was it
Flage Johnson
just announced that she's going to do the same. So that's an interesting little thing in the background of women's Final Four going on today. But
a gal from Notre Dame was projected to be the number two pick in the draft.
Olivia Miles,
yeah. And she basically was like, I'm coming back. Yeah, I'm going to hit the portal and make more money.
They're going to hit the portal and go in.
I'm going to go transfer to South Carolina and you're going to pay me $900,000.
And I'll maybe win a national championship.
More than the 70K I'm going to make. This will all change in a year when they get the new CBA and we'll see what the structure looks like. But what do we need to know about the women's Final Four today?
We need to know.
I know Paige Beckers.
Yeah.
I know that.
I know the spread doesn't necessarily indicate this. I think this UConn-UCLA game is going to be fantastic because you've got a freshman at UConn, Sarah Strong, that has been a monster. But you also got Lauren Betts for UCLA, who is quite literally a giant.
6'7".
6'7".
That's pretty big.
You know, just absolutely. And UCLA, point differential-wise, struggled when she was off the court. Until their last game. She didn't play at all in the second quarter because she got in foul trouble. They dominated without
her. Found a way to do it without her.
So you kind of wonder if they
force the tempo up where they want it? Can they put ball pressure on the UCLA backcourt, generate turnovers, and make Betts not the factor in the game? That's really
the
question.
I think this is going to be such a good game, and I'm just always going to rely on
Paige Beckers
has just been on a... She's on a mission. She clearly is. She wants a title. It's her last year at UConn. She's going to go pro. She is an all-time UConn player who doesn't have one of these.
Mm.
And Sue Bird said this like a year or so ago. Part of what separates the greats at UConn is, did you win and how many did you win? So she doesn't have multiple. She'll only get one, but she wants the one. So I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be the better game. I'm willing to give Texas some leeway here. The only reason I say that is because they just played South Carolina in the SEC title game and they got blown out. Two of the three times these teams played, South Carolina stomped them. They did beat them at Texas. I'll give Texas some benefit. Texas played a great game against TCU, and South Carolina's been playing with their food throughout the tournament. They've won a lot of close games. They haven't looked as sharp. This isn't a powerhouse South Carolina team the way other teams have been, but they're in the freaking Final Four, and it's Dawn Staley.
And they're favored by 5.5 in the Final Four.
Her teams always win close games.
Yeah. What title would this be for Dawn if she wins it? Three?
Third.
Third
I
title?
The third.
Would it be the third?
Third or fourth.
What would it be for Geno?
Oh, man.
How many does he have? 10?
Yeah, maybe it's 10.
I don't know. It's their 24th Final Four
appearance.
Can
I admit something to you, though? Like, the Sue Bird stuff I get, if I were a UConn player, I'd probably feel the same way. I do roll my eyes.
Well, she's not poo-pooing.
No, I know she's not. I know she's not.
That's how they talk about it.
I just roll my eyes at some of that stuff, man. The sport is so different now. Everybody's got the ability to spend money. Like,
he's got 11.
UConn went on a run there where just, like, they were unmatched. Like, nobody could touch them. You played on Dream. Every team was the best team. Like, every year they were the best team. I think that was one of the things about Caitlin Clark that went under the radar.
Yeah,
was that
four for Staley, by the way.
Four for Staley, okay. That was one of the things about Caitlin Clark. It was at Iowa. You know, I was like, I was good. Iowa, women's basketball. I don't know. Paige Bueckers is one of the best players, I would imagine, in the history of that program.
She's dealt with injuries. Players we've had at,
and like, she doesn't get to play with four all-stars like everybody in UConn history has been able to do, because the sport's different. It's more balanced. There's more powerhouses.
It's still a top-heavy sport, but
not as much as it was
what
during some of those
UConn
runs.
What I think you've seen this year is, despite what the seeds are in the Final Four, you are seeing the build of depth, I think, on the women's side.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a little longer to kind of get to where the men have been for a very long time.
When was the last time UConn won a title?
16.
It's been a minute for him. I know that.
2016.
Because Don's been on a nice run here.
He was in the Final Four last year.
He's been close.
Mulkey,
I'm not saying he's been bad.
Hers.
Kim Mulkey got one.
Staley's been in the run.
She's been
a house.
She's the new force of the sport. We'll see if that continues. It'd be a nice little matchup, South Carolina and UConn, if we get it.
I think one of the games is going to be great, and Bueckers could just maybe blow out UCLA. I give the Bruins a lot more of a chance, and I just dream matchup. We did it for the men. I'll do it for the women. Pretty easy for me. No disrespect to Texas whatsoever. Ideally, I'd love to see on my television Paige Bueckers.
South Carolina. Yeah, that's the best matchup.
If you're going to win,
give me the household known coaches, the known figures.
Yeah.
The greatest coach, or one of the greatest coaches of all time, versus the next maybe greatest coach of all time. So, yeah, storyline-wise. And this game, by the way, will be on Sunday. Their national championship game is on Sunday. Very weird.
Geno's been upset by the schedule.
I mean, I was shocked. I had no clue. I just assumed that their Final Four was on Sunday, and then the title game was on Tuesday, because they've been a day behind the men's tournament the entire way, and now all of a sudden we're flipping for a Friday-Sunday. So
at least I got some Friday sports viewing.
Yeah, very true. When you get a Sunday national title
Bulls
game.
Bulls-Blazers or the Final Four? I don't know.
Yeah. I'll watch the Final Four.
Could be another dub for the Blazers.
Yeah, I'm going to watch the Final Four. All right, we got a lot to get to in the final hour of the show. Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, as always. Memberships as low as $9.99 a month. Find your Crunch Time in Portland, Vancouver online at crunch.com. I want to get to a couple of more college basketball notes just for the men's Final Four. Historical perspective of Cooper Flagg. One player was texted in that I had already forgotten about. Did we put him in the same category? We're going to have some fun. We'll spring the line today. If you want to send some sponsors in, we'll tell you some bets we like for the weekend and for next week's Masters.
Oh, hello.
We got to get our picks in because the tournament's going to start on Thursday. We do. We got to do
that Thursday.
With sponsors, we got to do it. Get them out. The tournament will start by the time we're on the air Thursday, basically. I want to start, though, in Major League Baseball, because this odds graphic made me chuckle out loud last night. Is it bad for the sport? And exactly what we thought they were. That's what we start the final hour next on The Fan.